It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each of you for joining us and for listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is a Monday, and you are getting after it, producer Steve.
Yeah.
Say no more, huh?
You know, our Denver engineer was just walking through the hall doing a check on each board, each station, and we both agreed Mondays. Well, I can't say the other word. We both agreed.
Mondays are Mondays, so, but we've got a lot of work to do, so thank you for joining us. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Recaps and podcasts of the shows can be found there. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, and we're adding a new one onto this, Steve, and that is coercion.
Coercion? Okay, please explain.
Okay, well, let's just go ahead and let's run down here to one of the headlines that we have. And that is that Governor Polis looks like he's going to do the same thing that the governor in Ohio did. And that is there's going to be a $1 million COVID-19 vaccine lottery coming to Colorado. And it says Fox 31 has learned about this $1 million lottery as an incentive for more people to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, when we go back to if something is a good idea, you should not have to use force or coercion for people to get people to do something. And again, where is this $1 million coming from? And apparently there's going to be some $1,000 awardees as well. It's absolutely mind-boggling, but this is nothing more than coercion, and they're using taxpayers' money to do it, Steve.
Okay, now it's coming back to me. This is nothing unique or original on his part. This has been done in a couple other states as well. So, but, you know, when you say, where does $1 million come from? Go to the top of Patty's package.
We'll go there in just a moment. Again, if something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. Socialism is not about free stuff. The free stuff is the carrot to try to get people to vote for socialism. And Maggie Thatcher, our quote for today, and you know her, she was a British stateswoman. She served as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1979 to 1990 and leader of the Conservative Party from 1975 to 1990. She was the longest serving British Prime Minister of the 20th century and the first woman to hold that office. She was born in 1925 and died in 2013. And this is what she said. The problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money. And when that happens, then you see all kinds of force. And the force is for people to produce because they have to have some kind of production. But what the difference between socialism and communism and the American idea of capitalism and free markets is that the American idea, the individual gets to keep most of the fruits of their labor. Under socialism and communism, the state basically controls or gets the fruits of your labor, but they expect you to continue to produce. So the problem is production goes down because the incentives are out of whack. And then under socialism and communism, the people at the fringes that cannot produce become expendable. And we're headed to a situation where government is taking more and more and more of everyday people's hardworking Americans' production and the fruits of their labor, Steve.
You know, two thoughts. One, regarding Thatcher, she was a no-nonsense person, which we definitely need more of. I mean, wasn't it the Soviets, Soviet Union before it dissolved itself, they dubbed her the Iron Lady? I guess because of her position in NATO, I guess. But, you know, she was no-nonsense.
She was no-nonsense, and she did bring back conservative values to the United Kingdom. United Kingdom was headed towards socialism. Do you remember there was a movie done, and I think it was called Iron Lady, I think, by Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
And I saw it, and the way they portrayed her in that movie was not as an Iron Lady. It was the subtle things that Hollywood does to actually, I thought it tried to discount who she really was. And again, I thought that this, and this was before I started to really understand what was happening regarding culture, regarding movies, media. And I thought, I don't feel that this is portraying her as she really was. I thought it was trying to discount her. Did you ever see that movie?
I recall, I think I've seen snippets of it. I don't know that I've seen it beginning to end.
Yeah. But again, it was a way to take a shot at a very significant world leader who stood for freedom and who stood for free markets and capitalism. And she, with Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II, basically with words, not with weapons, but because they engaged in the battle of ideas, they took down the Soviet Union. And that's why words are so important, and that's why we do this show, Steve, is to help you get your brain around these issues. Not Steve, you, but you, the listener,
to and
get
me.
Your brains around. Yeah, and you to get your brains around these issues, so that you understand them, so that then you can converse with friends and family and colleagues about them.
Your producer has a sick sense of humor. When you were describing socialism, they expect you to continue to produce, and the first thing in my mind was, man, they view us like dairy cattle, dairy cows.
They do. They do. And they have couched all this in that they care, but they really don't care whatsoever. So a couple of things. We did do our candid COVID conversations, our webinar on Thursday night. I apologize to all of you where we had challenges on the live stream, but we also recorded it. And those of you that purchased a ticket, you should have received a link from Zach. So that you can access that. If you want to see this, you can again buy a ticket and you can watch the recorded version of that. And that is on my website right now. So if you missed it, you're in luck. Let's go ahead and run over here to the bill of the day, Steve. Let's change this up. Let's go to break early because it's going to take some time to go through that. So before we go to break, not only are you all sponsoring the show or supporting the show, but I have these great sponsors, and Hooters Restaurants is one of those. They have five locations. That's Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials. Right now, to go or dine in, you can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. That's on Wednesdays. And their smoked wings are absolutely delicious. They're half the calories. They have to-go specials, kids eat free specials, happy hour specials. Go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the sponsors tab. I recommend each and every one of them. Click on the Hooters tab, and you'll get all their specials there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about the bill of the day. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As we look at these issues between through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You should be able to persuade them. Speaking of force, let's just take a look here at House Bill 21-1321. The sponsors, all Democrats, are Representatives Kennedy and Weissman and Senators Marino and Pedersen. And this is what they say. And again, words matter. They say one thing, it's another thing. It says, concerning voter transparency requirements to increase information about the fiscal impact of a statewide ballot measures that would result in a change in district revenue. First and foremost, producer Steve, I think this is unconstitutional because Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, is an amendment to the Constitution. And here, via statute, they're trying to change that amendment. So first and foremost, it looks to me like this may be unconstitutional, Steve.
Well, I think it's further down. This is a very large article here. It alludes to the fact that this probably could go to the courts. But I love the way these people gang up. I mean, they're all, you know, whether they're in the legislature or not, like this quote from the Bell Policy Center, Scott Wasserman, says that it seeks to offset what he sees as the manipulative aspects of Tabor. What's he talking about? There's nothing.
Yeah, what?
I mean, he makes it sound, Tabor sound like it's so nefarious.
Well, and also, I want to tell you, there's Republicans that want to get rid of Tabor as well. I saw that when I was on city council.
No, yeah.
But the Bell Policy Center is a far-left, progressive/regressive organization. They want to, progressive means that they want to progress and to take more of your money. But under Tabor, it says, and it has to be in capital letters, if there's going to be a tax increase, exactly what that tax increase is. So, for example, on Proposition 110, when that was proposed in 2018, it said, shall state taxes be increased $776,700,000 annually for a 20-year period? And it failed. When people looked at that and looked at the money, Steve, you did a quick calculation on that. Over 20 years, that's over $15 billion.
Yeah, $15.3 billion with a B.
Right. And so Coloradans looked at that and they said no, because it looked like a big black hole that your money was going to go into. So now what they want to do, it said it would require voters to be informed of which programs would be affected by ballot questions decreasing taxes. The legislation would require the following language be attached to tax-reducing ballot measures. Shall funding available for state services that include, but are not limited to, and then they have the three largest areas of program expenditure. You know what that's going to be. It's going to be education, and you know, for the kids, for the roads, whatever the next thing's going to be. And how that will be impacted by the reduction. And so it would be a projected figure, a revenue figure. It would also mandate that ballots containing tax questions highlight how many people in which tax brackets would be most affected by tax hikes or decreases, and require that ballot titles for tax increases state that the aim is to increase or improve levels of public services, and then list those services. Steve, can you see what's going on here? Is then they put in the whole envy thing, where it's, you know, sock it to those rich people. And so this is based on envy. It's really dishonest, and it grows government significantly. It is just terrible.
Well, you put out a stereotypical descriptor like that, those rich people. Well, a lot of those rich people own businesses and are employing people. And, you know, their labels are just so misleading, and they don't really serve any real purpose in terms of getting to the real issues.
Well, and the other thing is what's going to happen with Colorado. And I know that people think that Colorado is such a beautiful state and that people want to live here. I have to tell you, Steve, I looked at the mountains the other day after we had those snow. That was about a week or so ago. And years ago, I would look at that. I'm like, oh, I just love Colorado. It is so beautiful. The sky was blue. The mountains were white. And I thought, I just love it. At this particular point in time, I don't love it. I don't love what's happening to the state. And people will leave. That your producers are going to leave. And this is just another one of these bills. I mean, it's almost like every day. It's sock it to the rich guy, sock it to the small business person. And because I think that they look at the total revenue a small business might have, and they think that that person is really rich. They don't realize that they're paying for their rent, they're paying for their employees, they're paying all of these taxes. They have to jump through all these rules and regulations. And this is just another one. The way they're changing this, that, you know, sock it to the rich guy. It's the rich guys that actually make things happen. But what we are seeing is that in Colorado, the bureaucrats are getting rich because of all of these things. And they don't create a darn thing. They live off the taxpayer, just like these politicians do as well, like the Bell Policy Center. I imagine that's probably, quote unquote, a nonprofit. We need to check that out. But they are all over public policy here. And I'm starting to think about this. We need to, I think, really bring taxes down. And I've got to think about that. I have something that I won't say quite right yet. But
let me invite you to get inside the head of this guy. And you tell me what you think he's really saying here. One of the sponsors, Representative Chris Kennedy, he says it's a stop the bleeding bill. Now, what does he mean by bleeding? I mean, my first interpretation is, oh, well, we want to spend more money than we have. Is that the bleeding he's referring to?
I don't know for sure what he could be referring to, because A, under executive order, we have kept our businesses closed, our small businesses closed for a significant period of time. But yet, Polis and Colorado clearly are a favorite of this Harris-Biden-Rice administration, because we've gotten billions of dollars of money from the federal government, and that's either from taxes from our neighbors or borrowing it from our kids. But let's just very quickly go through Kevin Lundberg. In his report, he summarized the session very well. He said in 2019, the first year of Polis' governorship, he said he didn't think it could get worse. But he said 2020 reared its ugly head, and we saw the governor rule by executive order, and the legislature let him have that authority and power unchecked. So be sure and check out the book that he was a co-editor on, Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. Both Patty and I have a chapter in there. But what else happened this legislative session? First of all, our Second Amendment rights, it says, was severely curtailed with several bills that are headed to the law books. One of them is the so-called safe storage bill, which will either disarm all citizens who own a firearm or turn them into criminals if they ignore this outrageous command from our government. And one has to ask, do they plan on coming into people's homes and checking that? So that is very dangerous. Since Colorado is fast becoming a haven for illegal aliens, or now they're redefined as worker without authorization, which is House Bill 1075. Senate Bill 77 will allow illegal aliens to obtain licenses and certifications from the state of Colorado. And the bill says it best. The bill also specifies that lawful presence is not required of any applicant for any state or local license, certificate, or registration. Then it says this year, transportation and taxes have come to mean something very different. And it says transportation is just another way that they're pulling their global warming crisis card. There's the public option, which could change our medical industry. And then he said he could go on and on about shutting down our electric utilities while putting everyone in electric cars. How does that make sense, Steve? But anyway, continue on. Fully funding Planned Parenthood through medical insurance companies, changing election laws while killing election bills that would have brought back election integrity, and banning plastic bags. So they have been very busy down there at the State House, Steve.
Well, I love Kevin's, summary at the, well, we have it at the very top of the report, but he says, hopefully they will go home on Friday and we'll know the complete damage to our households financially, as well as what level of our freedom has been eroded. That's quite a summary.
It is quite a summary. And once again, my friends, we are at the tip of the spear. I was thinking about what do we do? And we have got to get a handle on election integrity. They're starting the recount or restarting the recount, or I guess it's the audit down in Maricopa County today. But we have got to make sure that we have election integrity. And I actually question how they are so bold here in Colorado, and not in a good way, to be passing all of this terrible, terrible legislation. And that is why we need to, A, make sure that we have election integrity. B, we need to be sure that we elect conservatives to these offices. Greg Lopez is running for governor, and I know that he really is working to conserve this American idea. He was a small business owner, so he understands what we're all going through. And we need to have candidates up and down the tickets. And we've got a big job ahead of us right now, Steve, with trying to really put conservative people in office. The problem, what happens is many times people are very well intentioned when they decide to run for public office. But once they get in there, there is so much pressure from bureaucrats and from staff and from constituents that have a specific agenda in mind. It's very difficult for people to remain conservative once they are elected to office. And so that's where all of us again come in to support them and help them, because Colorado right now, they want to export everything that we see here to the rest of the country. And that's why we need to hold the line here and continue to battle in this battle of ideas. And Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management, I assume that you agree with me, correct?
Normally I do, Kim, and that's no exception today.
Okay. What do you see happening this week in the market?
Boy, I'll tell you, if I could predict even one day in the market, things would be much different, much less one week. But I still think there's some underlying pressure there, Kim. There still seems to be some selling going on. Not massive, not like panic selling, but just still some air coming out of the balloon on some of the tech stocks that got way, way up there that really didn't seem to have the earnings to back it up, some of the pie in the sky stuff. However, on the fundamental side of the coin, we do seem to be seeing generally good earnings reports out of what I'll call, real companies that that have been around for a while and that are actually profitable. So you've got some good stuff going on and then some stuff that's concerning. At the end of the day, Kim, I still look at the valuations, even of, the big leading stocks that are making money, and they are, a bit high, in fact, concerningly high compared to where you would normally see them. And that does give me pause as far as making, any great big bets or new investments on the market right now.
Well, I would recommend that people sit down with you and do a risk assessment and just kind of figure out how their tummy feels if the market would happen to take a correction. How can people reach you, Jason McBride, to sit down and do a risk assessment on their portfolio?
Well, the best way, Kim, is just the old school way. Just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. And, Kim, I always like to remind folks that there's no obligation, no high pressure. You know, I'm not going to lock the door until you whip out your checkbook or anything like that. People generally find these discovery sessions to be very laid back and very, very helpful as well.
Well, Jason McBride, that's a great idea, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And I get to work with some amazing partners, and one of them is on the line right now, and that is Jay Davidson. He is the CEO, founder of a community bank right here in the metro area. That's First American State Bank. And Jay, it's always great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Kim. I appreciate you inviting me on, and it's always a pleasure to hear you.
Well, people reach out to me and say they learn so much from you, and that's not just your wife and your children. Ha!
They didn't learn anything from me, just ask.
But let's talk about big business and big government. For a long time, I thought big business was really freedom people. But I've come to see, and when I was on city council, and then all the research that we do for the show, that big business and big government like each other, because big business and big government influence each other, and they can squash competition, they can control markets, and it's so antithetical to the American idea of property rights and capitalism, where people compete in a market with for their product and their ideas. Expound upon this, Jay.
Yeah, it is a sad phenomenon that big business, the large corporations, and big government go hand in hand. And they are two of the most powerful entities in the world. They certainly have the scope and the capability, the intelligence, the manpower to affect major change. There's so much collusion going on between the federal government and large corporations that were I to do this with other banks in my little area, I'd probably be arrested. But it's okay for these people to collude. And one of the things that really blows my mind is the revolving chair on the finance side of the government and business. I mean, you look at the Fed chair and then the head of Treasury and then the heads of the major houses in New York, financial houses, they're just switching back and forth and in and out all the time. There's no distinction between these people and the other entity, between the government and the large corporation. I think this is a very serious issue. I think we should be skeptical of it. But like you said, it all comes back down to, are we a constitutional republic? What does that mean? How do we enforce the rights of the individual? what do we have to do to, you know, peacefully change this nation?
Well, and first and foremost, I feel like we are in an ideological battle now. Jay, we are in an epic battle of ideas, and that's why we do this show, is to help people think about these issues, get their brains around them, and then converse with their friends and their family and their colleagues about this. And it used to be that they would say it's a polite company, you don't talk about religion and politics. But what I realized is while we as conservatives, people that want to conserve this idea of the American founding, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that we typically were polite and shut down our own voices. We kind of self-censored. But they were very active out there in public policy. And we are now seeing this all play out. I think a lot of people are awakening to this. They're not becoming woke. They are awakening to this big battle of ideas that's raging right now, Jay.
Well, it is definitely a battle of ideas, and it's been going on for a lot longer than you and I have been in this world. I think it started just a little bit after Cain and Abel did their thing. And the battle is always to the ideology, to the idea of, in my opinion, it's either freedom or it's control. One side wants control. One side wants individual freedom. And freedom, by definition, indicates that it is individual freedom. You don't have freedom of a group. You have an individual right to make choices of your own free will, or you have a government entity of some sort, whether a monarchy or a democracy or a plurality, that comes in and says, you cannot make a decision. I will make the decision for you. And I think that is the gist of the ideological battle that we're fighting tooth and nail right now, with what I call, they're not even Democrats. They're the left. They're the Marxists.
Well, and this idea that you don't have to make decisions for yourself, or it's really more of, I don't want to be responsible for some of the decisions that I make, but I want to be responsible for some of the other decisions I make to pick and choose. If I make a bad choice, I don't want to be responsible for that. And then that's where a government or these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they use that and they come in and they say, well, we'll help you. We'll make that decision for you. And I think that's one of the reasons we've gotten in such a tough spot right now in the United States, Jay.
Absolutely. I mean, sure. What are the most, according to Ron Reagan, the most feared words in the world? I'm here from the government. I'm here to help you. And then, you know, just talking to a Democrat, a smart guy, you know, probably a middle of the road Democrat, somebody that I pretty much agree with on a lot of things. But he's into this welfare thing. He's into giving people free handouts by taking from other people. And that's not his nature. I mean, he's one of the most hardworking fellows you could ever talk to, and very honest and very ethical, but he has a blind spot when it comes to government handouts. And I said to him, well, all right, tell me which government program has ever worked efficiently as a private program would work. And he couldn't give me one because they don't exist. So if you want to save, let's say, a poor person, how do you get, what's the best way of doing it? And, you know, his answer is going to be, well, let's get more government involved. Mine's to be, well, that's not a very wise way of getting something done. But, you know, if you had a heart transplant, you had to transfer the new heart to you, would you choose FedEx or would you choose the U.S. Postal Service? Obviously, you choose FedEx. Why? Because they're efficient. Probably save your life. So I suggest that.
Well, and they're dependable as well. I've had a number of different pieces of mail that have not been delivered to me, or things that I've mailed that have been delivered. So I hadn't thought about an example like that, but yeah, most definitely, I would want private enterprise to deliver my heart if I needed a heart transplant.
Exactly. And what's the best for the individual that's in poverty? Best thing for him or her is honestly to find a job. And I I say this very carefully, but to be forced to find a job. If they're allowed to live on the dole by being paid by the government, they'll continue to do that. That's human nature. I'm sure I would, too, if I was in that predicament. But the fact of the matter is, you have to remove these disincentives to working and force people to get into the job market. Once they get in and they start to produce, they'll find a certain level of satisfaction, a joyfulness in their soul that they didn't have before because they're taking responsibility. So far from helping people, the leftist view of handouts destroys the soul of the individual that's accepting it. And I was raised by an Indian reservation. I saw what it did to a very proud people. These were Lakota Sioux. I mean, they were great warriors in their day. And I saw what these government handouts did on the rest. It was horrendous. I think people got to think about both sides of this equation before they say, well, let's give the government more power.
Well, and the government is not compassionate. This is not about ultimately helping people, because when you start down this road that you take from the producers to give to non-producers. And let's just take out on the very fringe. There are those we know in society that cannot take care of themselves. And I submit to you that we can take care of them through private charity. Let's lower income taxes. Let's lower taxes. Let people have more money in their pocket. And private charity will step in and will very efficiently, I think, address those problems. But let's say, you know, the big broad portion of this, if you start to take away from the producers and give to the non-producers, you take away the incentive for the producer to work so hard or to take risk, society starts to become less and less affluent, or not, I wouldn't say, society doesn't flourish as much, and as society eventually dies, it's not sustainable. The left talks about sustainability all the time. This model is not sustainable, Jay Davidson.
That's a fact, and it's been proven in every nation that's tried socialism, communism, or even fascism. And the whole theme between those three ideologies is government control, as opposed to individual freedom and responsibility. So the way to thrive, survive, and succeed is through private enterprise. Absolutely. We're incented, we who are in private enterprise and who work for a living are incented to do well so that we can do well. And as our businesses do better, we do better. We all know that. So far from using the government to help us out, they can't. They're incompetent and capable of doing it. It's blatantly obvious, and yet we keep going back to the same trough saying, let's spend more money on this poor person here and that poor. Well, I get it. This poor lady that has five kids and doesn't have a husband, you know, we need to help her. Okay, I get that. But I don't agree with the able-bodied man who's sitting in front of his TV smoking dope because he's getting this $1,500 a month from the government. I don't agree with that. And you know what? If he wants to do it, he can do it on his own dime, but not on our dime.
Right. If he wants to make that choice, but then he will be required to become somewhat entrepreneurial and figure out how he is going to raise that money. And I think people need to remember that what the government giveth, the government can taketh away. And this is all, socialism is not about free stuff, Jay, and it took me a while to realize that. It's just the carrot to get people to vote for politicians that promise it. But at some point in time, it determines on who owns the rights to your production. And under a free society, a capitalistic society, you own most of the fruits of your labor, most of your production. But under socialism and communism, the government or the monarchy, whoever it is, they own the your fruits of your production. And then at some point in time, and this is very dire to say, but if you in that society are not producing, you become expendable. And we've seen that time and time again throughout history, Jay.
Yeah, that's very true. In order to control the socialist or communist, uses government as the vehicle to control. And I do think that's the overall theme. It's what I've seen in Russia and Venezuela and other areas, even England back in the 70s and Sweden back in the 70s when they were both socialistic. There was a lot of government intervention in those countries. Now it's since recited, reduced, because the population realized that it wasn't working. But that's what it's all about. It's either control or it's freedom. There's no compromise between the two. Government has a specific function. And when you read the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that function is pretty much two things. It's military and infrastructure, like roads and things. It's not to get into welfare programs or other things that are ineffective. And the Constitution attempts to limit the government at every turn. You know, the Constitution doesn't find limits to the individual. The Constitution is recognizing the rights and responsibilities that the individual holds and trying to hold it safe.
Well, and that is really the beauty of that. Let's go to break. I'm talking with Jay Davidson. He is the CEO and founder of First American State Bank. It's a community bank located right here in the metro area. Before we do that, though, I want to give a shout out to Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is another great sponsor. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado. And we're getting into wedding season, and they're a great place to buy that wedding gift, whether or not it's a steak knife set or kitchen knives for the bride and groom. And yeah, Father's Day is coming up as well. That is a great place also to do your shopping is Castlegate Knife and Tool. So go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. We are hoping that we're helping you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with your friends, your family, your colleagues in this epic battle of ideas that we are engaged in at this time. On the line with me is one of my great sponsors, and that is Jay Davidson with First American State Bank. And Jay, people reach out to me and say they learn so much from you when you're on the air. And I want to ask you about inflation. It is here. I got my car serviced recently, and I've worked with this technician for many years. And he said, Kim, I just want you to know that we're raising our prices. And as I looked at how much they raised it, it was about 30%. And we've seen that kind of price increase at the gas pump. I submit to you that that's primarily because of public policy. But we've been really spoiled in not having a big inflationary state. And it looks like that might be coming down the pike. What's your thoughts on that, Jay Davidson?
It's a complex topic, and it's not necessarily intuitive. A little bit of inflation is actually good because it's indicative of a robust private economy. You're familiar with the term velocity of money. That term means how many times does a dollar change hands? If I pay a tip to a waiter, and then he or she goes out and buys a Coca-Cola, and you know the owner of that store then goes and buys more goods. Well, that's three, you know, it's velocity. That's money moving. For a long time, money has not been moving. There's not been a lot of transactions. There's been a lot of fear. We started to get out of the Great Recession that occurred during Obama's reign, and started to get out. Then COVID hit us and put us, the government unilaterally, state and federal government, put us into lockdowns, messed up business big time, created uncertainty. So the economy's not really had an opportunity to get churning like it normally would and get the velocity of money moving, get money moving, which is velocity. So a little bit of inflation is okay. I can live with that. We can all adjust. But there's a stealth inflation that you're indicating here, Kim, that isn't showing up in the CPI numbers. And that's what you just said about your service guy and on the cost. 30% increase is substantial. That's really a big increase. Well, that is inflationary because you have to spend more of your money to get the same service. Like going to the grocery store and paying a dollar for a gallon of milk today, and tomorrow you have to pay $2 for that same gallon of milk. Your money just got cut in half in value. So one side of inflation is the increase in pricing. The downside is the devaluation of the United States dollar's buying power. And they are the same sides, or different sides of the same coin. So the United States dollar is being devalued because predominantly, in my opinion, the Fed Reserve and the Treasury have been in one of the most egregious, incestuous acts that I have ever heard of between two government agencies. It's called quantitative easing. Now, QE, it sounds like a big thing. What it is the Fed's printing money. No rhyme or reason, no basis. Nothing except the Treasury Department needs to keep up with the spending that the politicians are putting out. So how do they do that? They can't sell their treasuries on the open market because the other nations that would normally buy our treasuries don't trust this kind of a transaction. So in order to sell treasuries, this is my opinion, and nobody's telling me this. In my opinion, in order to sell treasuries, the Fed Reserve is printing this money to purchase, give the money to the Treasury Department, and they'll hold the bonds as collateral until it's repaid. All right, so the Treasury then goes out and doles out all this money to the nation, and you could argue whether that's effective in the private economy. I think all it does is create bubbles in the private economy, mm-hmm. like real estate, oil and gas, stock market. These bubbles are
student loans.
They burst and you get hurt. And I'm probably going on too long here, but it's a complex topic.
Well, I think it is important for people to understand it. And there's no way to put complex topics into sound bites. You just don't really understand that. Another thing, Jay, that I think is inflationary, and that is I bought some graham crackers the other day in the same size box that I normally purchase. But when I opened it up, the packages on the inside were smaller. They didn't actually fit right up next to the sides of the box like they used to. Now, I know that's a small thing, but it, again, is inflationary because I'm spending the same amount of money for less product. And that is another way that I think you see inflationary pressures. Your comment on that, Jay?
Absolutely. It's the same as charging you $2 for a $1 gallon of milk. It's identical. There's a mismatch here. Now, all inflation isn't bad, right? I mean, if prices are going, if I'm able to raise the prices on my product, I can make more margin. But in a free market, private market economy, my customer will tell me how much I can raise it. And when I go too far, they'll move their business. I need to realize it. I need to adjust and go on. This is life. This is how it works. But that's free enterprise. That's the customer making a free decision to buy my product or not, and me making a free decision whether to raise the price of my product or not. But now we have government intervention in that process. For instance, when the Fed prints all this money under quantitative easing, QE, And the Treasury uses that money to pay for all the spending that Biden and even Trump put forth. That is not a free market transaction. That is a government-based transaction. And everybody likes to say that a certain element of gross domestic product is government spending. I say, I don't think that is. I don't think that should be an element of GDP, of gross domestic product, because it's not real. It's artificial. And this whole quantitative easing thing that the Fed's been doing for now 12, 13 years is going to cause some major issues down the road. And we haven't even started in on unintended consequences of having trillions of dollars of excess liquidity.
I know. And as we were preparing for the show, I was thinking about big business and big government. And you were just describing how in capitalism you have your product and your customer will let you know whether or not they like your product at that price. Because if they do, they'll buy it. And if they don't like your product at that price, they won't. So you either maybe change your product to make it better, to more enticing, or you lower your prices. But and that is really entrepreneurship. But what we are seeing now, again, big government and big business, if government comes in and mandates that people have to use your product or buy your product, then you don't have to compete in the free market to make your product better, to make it at a better price. It just takes away all those incentives. So speak to that, Jay Davidson.
Well, this is your graham cracker analogy. One of the ways that the government intervenes in free markets is a company like Solyndra, where they subsidize this failure. I mean, eventually went bankrupt totally and absolutely to get into green energy. Tesla is another example. You know, we're all enamored of Elon Musk. He's no doubt a genius, but one of his genius acts, unfortunately, was manipulating the federal government to pay a subsidy for people buying his electric cars. I don't mind that Elon found a way to create this beautiful vehicle, but I do object to the government being involved in that process. So this is an intervention in a free market transaction that should occur. You know, Elon's never going to ask me this question, but I say you're fooling yourself by letting the government get their hands into your business. You know, if you're relying on a federal handout to sell your product, maybe you need to reexamine your product. Because if it can't stand on its own, you probably shouldn't invest in it.
Well, and we are seeing down at the Colorado State House, though, a doubling down on forcing people into electric vehicles. And that's a whole nother discussion. And we have to be asking why and who are the players. And the more I learn about that, for the government here in Colorado, the legislature and governor, to come in and by policy, they're trying to shut down the oil and gas industry. And then also through policy, they're trying to force people into electric vehicles. One has to ask why, and there's all kinds of different reasons. But that's it just goes back to where I finally learned that big government and big business like each other, Dave. Jay, excuse me.
Yeah.
Jay Davidson.
they're certainly hand in hand. And they're not the most efficient ways to produce a product or bring a product to market. The beauty of capitalism is that it naturally grows out of a free society, as I would call it, the constitutional republic that our nation was founded under. And greatest strength of our nation throughout all these many wars that we've been in has been capitalism. It's been the economy. It's certainly not ever to take away from our veterans and the wonderful people that go out and put their lives on the line. They're incredible. But without the tanks and the planes and the boats and the AR-15s or whatever they're shooting now, there's no war fighting capability. So, protect the economy, too, folks, not just the exterior borders of our nation. And the economy is under assault now by the Federal Reserve, by regulation, by intervention in our private business, on everything. I mean, a hairdresser has to go get a license from the state to do hairdressing.
Yeah, the free market can... I've never gone to a hairdresser and looked for their license. I've, by word of mouth, I've checked it out. If it seems like they do a great job, I'll make an appointment. If I didn't have a good experience, I won't go back. And that's how the free market works. Jay Davidson, I so appreciate your partnership. I appreciate these shows immensely. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
There is a great ideological battle to which Kim referred earlier. And that battle is, when you nail it down, is between freedom and control. And freedom is always individual. It's always the individual that is free. And you and I need to do what Ben Franklin told us to do, or insinuated when he said that we created the Constitutional Republic if you can keep it.
And it is our time, it is our generation, Jay Davidson, to do that. And it's almost like you and I were communicating on the quote for today, because I chose Maggie Thatcher because you've met her. But this is what she said. She said, individualism has come in for an enormous amount of criticism over the years, and it still does. It is widely assumed to be synonymous with selfishness. But the main reason why so many people in power have always disliked individualism is because it is the individualists who are ever keenest to prevent the abuse of authority. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.